Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Alonzo scorches it to left, and that is launched out of here. Pete Alonzo. With his 45th home run of the season, he muscles up and has the major league lead in home runs. Mets up 4-1.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
And Betts swinging away, blast one. No doubt about this one to left center field. Look out, Lansdowne to the back of the monster and over it. A three-run blast. Mookie Betts has seen two pitches tonight and served both over the green monster for home runs.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
This has been a great rivalry, and I think it's picked up. You know, over the years, there's been some seesawing from time to time on what the bigger rivalry is when Minnesota was rolling. But I think Chicago, with the way they've been playing and how much it means to our fans, you know, that rivalry is right where it needs to be for our fans, for their fans, and for the NFL.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson, in with you on this Thursday afternoon.
Woo!
How we feeling? How we doing?
Feeling great. We got a softball game tonight. The NFL is back.
Yep.
It's a Thursday.
Yep.
I'm feeling fired up, man.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
I'll knock on wood. I'm with you. I'm right here with you, John. Right here with you. Antonio Brown isn't, but I am.
Yeah, he can't knock right now. He's
he's not knocking.
He's not in the room. Look, before we get to Antonio Brown, can I just do something real quick?
Sure, go ahead. Okay. Fire away.
Okay.
Fire away.
Oh, it's back! Anybody else get an erection when you hear that noise?
Not gonna lie, it's moving. It's moving.
Oh, easy. Oh, man.
I have movement. Movement. Now, are we going to get the new, because I know Carrie Underwood teased.
I'm so tired of that. Stop. No one cares. No one cares that you've done 9 renditions of Sunday Night Football.
She's got a new song this year.
Okay? It ends the same way every time. On Sunday night.
She's got a new song this year.
God, does anybody know any of the lyrics to any of the other 50 songs she's made?
No, but I do laugh every week when I just happen to turn on NBC quick enough so you can see them like toss to Carrie Underwood to sing the intro song, and you get all the awkward NFL players who have to like move around behind a green screen and like throw a ball and like act like they're laughing.
Act like they're catching it right. From somebody
act
else.
Act like they're all in the same room at the same time, which we know none of them are, and it's right. Carrie Underwood randomly walking through and singing a song about football night in America, baby. So I don't know if she's gonna debut the new one tonight or not, but I am eagerly awaiting the new Carrie Underwood song.
Okay, so a couple things on that. Is it one, is it okay and acceptable to call her the new Hank Williams?
I think that's a little it's a bit of a diss to Hank Williams. Like, Hank Williams, that was a class, like, Monday night, friends are coming over.
Not sure she would appreciate that either.
Sure, I mean, taking the politics aside from what Hank Williams,
we gotta go there.
Removing that from the company.
Well, that's why he got canned.
Well, he was back last year,
They brought him back, yeah.
Which, by the way, was an abomination, because they put him with, like, Florida Georgia Line, and they did, like, a rap twist on it. It's like, God, just rip my ears off my head.
What I mean by that, aside from politics, aside from the opposite sex stuff,
sure.
His is much better. His original Monday Night Football rendition is much better.
All my rowdy friends are coming over tonight.
But did he do anything once he signed on to do that? Because I don't think she's doing squat outside of this.
Like, did they come up with a new rendition of it every year,
No, just Hank Williams was a known figure.
Yes.
He made that song.
Yes.
Did he do anything after that song, or was that kind of it? It was like, I'm Monday Night Williams. I'm Monday Night Football Hank Williams.
Monday Night Williams is his new name.
Versus like Carrie Underwood. She's not digging her key into the side of somebody's souped up four-wheel drive.
Let's hold on here.
She's doing just Sunday Night Football
stuff. If there is an authority to talk about country music on this show, I don't think Brandon Sprague is the authority.
I've been to a Garth Brooks concert, so
you do not
I disagree with you.
Neither of you listen to country music. Carrie Underwood
spitting out records.
She still puts out music, and she still has like top 20 hits in country music. And Hank Williams was still a big deal a long time after he started doing the Monday Night Football song.
Fake news.
You just don't.
This is fake news.
You don't. The only time you ever see Carrie Underwood or ever saw Hank Williams happened to be on a football pregame show.
Well, I saw Carrie Underwood when she was doing regular songs, and now I don't hear or see those songs anymore.
No, she's out there. She's out there.
I knew about Hank Williams when I was a little kid. I had an uncle who always liked Hank Williams. Then the Monday Night Football thing. I didn't see Hank Williams after Monday Night Football.
No, he was still a thing. He was still out there.
I think I've earned the right to be the country music connoisseur expert. I listened to an entire George Strait album once.
George Strait's the man.
He is the man. He's the GOAT.
He's one of the best of all time.
He's better than Garth.
I don't know about that, but he's pretty damn good.
Not as good performing live, but a better songwriter and singer.
It's also a slap in the face to guys like Johnny Cash and some of the old timers to call him the GOAT of country music, but it's neither here nor there. Okay?
It's like basketball, modern day country music.
Well, he's not even modern day. He is like the last good generation of country music.
Yeah, you could say it that way, too.
Yeah, a lot of modern day country music's not very good.
Look, all I know is I don't hear Carrie Underwood's name until around this time every year because, oh my God, I've changed four words from last year's song. Wait till you see this new rendition.
Now, this might be a dumb question. I feel like I know the answer to it. Is football the only one that has like the dumb welcome to our broadcast song? Does any other sport do that?
I mean, the NBA used to have the theme song, but they don't want it
anymore.
Though.
It wasn't like it wasn't a 1990s musician walking through a green screen singing a song about Sunday basketball.
No, but they do that in the playoffs. Fergie, do you not remember that year?
I remember her singing the national anthem.
No.
As like a jazz bebopper.
Dude, they do this every year in the NBA playoffs. They pick one song. And they run with it every year.
Okay, see, I
like the Black Eyed Peas and Fergie had one year. What was that song?
We're playing basketball.
No, not Curtis Mellow.
What the hell are you talking about?
Sorry.
No, it was that one. It got in your head. It was.
I can't.
I
know that song.
I know that song.
They used that one year. It was really annoying.
See, I siphon out the playoffs for regular season. Like, they do that every Monday Night Football, every Sunday Night Football. Like, I feel like, because I think baseball probably has a song for the playoffs, too.
Then I'd say no. Basketball doesn't have, a regular season one, no.
Okay.
Yeah, baseball's been doing that. I remember two or three years ago, they had Meghan Trainor all about the base, and they had different players in it. I remember that.
Yeah, I just...
All about that base.
It was.
God. It always gets stuck in your
head.
And
it had like baseball players in a green screen, fake air drumming and other weird stuff.
God, those are so bad. Who thinks those are good? Like, who comes up with the idea for a telecast and then says, you know how we should start it? A really awkward song. That's how you rope the people in to get jacked up for Sunday Night
Football. The only good part of that was Joe Buck's subtle dig at it as they welcomed him in following it or something. Like, it's so subtle and nuanced. You have to be paying attention because he just slides it in and keeps going.
But you have to give credit to this. I can't say this about Carrie Underwood. What I can say is Hank Williams made one hell of a catchy tune that I always enjoyed hearing before the Monday Night Game.
That's the only good one that's ever been created.
Yes.
Right? Like the one
lyrics.
You didn't laugh at it. Like the Carrie Underwoods, it's become comical at this
point. It sucks. It's not good. Yeah. It's annoying. Stop putting 15 random players on a green screen like you mentioned. Nobody's listening to you anyway. Like, just get to Al Michaels and Collinsworth.
It's Sunday night.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody. And I'm sorry if I've offended the country music fans out
there.
You
did, yeah. Carrie Underwood is still a ginormous star in country music.
I mean, she's not even as famous as her ex, Tony Romo. As far as I'm concerned.
That's completely wrong, but okay.
Romo sells out stadiums.
No.
Every
no,
Sunday,
no,
the premier doesn't. Game on CBS.
No.
They're showing up to watch him talk.
That's not true in any way, shape, or form. But
I think that's
okay.
a thing.
That's not a thing.
I think that's a real
if
thing.
If you did a general popularity, who's more famous? It's not even close. Carrie Underwood went from American Idol, which I think she was like the first or second season.
Oh, is that how she got
that's
famous?
That's how she got started. I don't even think she won. I think she was like one of those runners-up that ended up becoming a big star, but people can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Mine is Kelly Clarkson. Don't they all become famous when they're not the winner?
Those are the only two I can ever name for you.
Like, what happened to Ruben Studdard?
I don't know.
What happened to that old guy with the gray hair?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I know the one guy.
Soul Patrol! that guy. I don't know what his name was, but that guy. What happened to Clay Aiken?
Clay Aiken ran for, like, Congress.
What?
He did. He tried to become a politician, and I think he lost.
Well, duh.
He tried to parlay the fame.
Guy, what was his name? Like, Jordan Hicks or something like that?
Yes. Yes, Jordan freaking Hicks. He had the salt and pepper.
And somebody said, Hank Williams can't make the sexy walk. Carrie Underwood does have the good sexy walk down the green screen.
If that sexy walk is doing anything for you, I got breaking news. The internet has a bunch of sexy walk that you can look at any time, at any part of the day, and you don't need the 5 seconds. It's Carrie Underwood.
I can't wait for the new song tonight. I'm jacked up to see what Carrie Underwood's got kicked up for the start of the 2019 season, baby.
We're going to miss the start of that game.
We are. I'm DVRing it so I can go back and watch it.
No, so you can fast forward past it is what you're going to do. All right, let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com.
By the way, the Pac-12 Network is re-airing USC-Stanford games all week because they play this weekend. They can do that, but not show an Oregon State game for some reason. Do you remember the Versus Network?
I do.
Like, they're showing the 2000 and I think like 4 or 5 game or something like that, and it's on the Versus Network.
That
I
mean, eventually became NBC Sports
NBC
Network.
NBC Sports Network, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the channel, too. I remember the channel that it was on back in the day.
People are in. It's Taylor Hicks.
Taylor Hicks, yes.
And Ruben apparently became a multi-selling platinum record gospel singer.
Oh, good for him.
So he went that way.
He was a good singer. A lot of people take Carrie Underwood stuff way too seriously, by the way.
How dare you?
I'm sitting here laughing half of what I'm saying, and people are texting in. Excuse me. She was number 2 on the Billboard's top 20 country songs.
Jesus Take the Wheel. It's one of her songs.
Is that really a song?
Jesus Take the Wheel. Take the wheel, all right?
Just take it, baby.
Jesus is going to take the wheel of this show today.
Well, hopefully he guides it the right direction. We're going to get to Antonio Brown, who wanted to punch his general manager. He hasn't played one snap for the Raiders, so this is getting off to a great start. We have 2 stops to make for the Daily Ticker. One of them is in Oakland. The other one is in Chicago. The Bears. The Bears hosting the Packers tonight. Let's see. What else do we got here? You know, I updated my show sheet at my desk, closed my laptop, came in, and now my email's not updated.
Cool.
So my show sheet doesn't work. We got our pick, our Pro Football Challenge coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll get to our picks. Woo! We'll give some NFL predictions. We've got crunch time. We've got hot seat college football coaches after 1 week.
We're also going to talk Taco Tuesday on a Thursday because we didn't get to that yesterday, and I want to get to that today.
And we'll talk about LeBron being a douche and trying to trademark Taco Tuesday. So we'll start with Antonio Brown. Because that's what's on tap, and it's brought to you in the fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Antonio Brown threatened to punch Mike Mayock in the face, and now is nowhere to be seen. What the hell is going on? Let's talk about Antonio Brown next on The Fan. No woman, no. All right, welcome back in. We've got the Daily Ticker. I'm only going to read this one text because I thought it was funny. I saw the text line, and you guys need to calm down. Like, who really cares about Carrie Underwood? Somebody texted in, she never dated Tony Romo. She's married to Mike Fisher.
Didn't she date Tony Romo?
She dated Tony Romo, you morons. Do your research and get back to me.
Also, somebody was very upset that we didn't have our correct Hank Williams bigot attachment. And it wasn't Hank Williams Sr., it's Hank Williams Jr. is the
bigot?
Hank Williams Jr. is the one that did the Monday Night Football song. His dad was a legendary country singer as well, who, by the way, they made like one of those biopic movies of, and I don't know if anybody watched it. And they got, you know who they got to play?
Sure
They got a British guy to play him.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea.
I mean, I think he had a good Southern accent for the movie.
British people can do American accents rather well.
I remember seeing, like, I can't remember the actor's name, but he did an interview and he was talking British and they're like, yeah, he's here to promote his Hank Williams movie. I was like, wait a minute, what? Don't a British dude do that?
Don't step to me on country music if you don't have all the facts. I told you guys I was legit at this country music thing.
Bring the heat.
All right, let's get to the real stuff, though, in all seriousness. Antonio Brown threatened to punch Mike Mayock in the face.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's always really nice when that happens. According to a report from Schefter, Rappaport, everybody else, Antonio Brown was meeting with Mike Mayock on the field. They were talking. They started arguing. Antonio Brown said, yeah, you're lucky I don't punch you in the face.
Hey, nice.
He then grabbed the football because he's mad about the fine for missing days. He punted the football, turned to Mike Mayock and said, fine that. And then he walked off the field. The Raiders came out with Mike Mayock. And do we have the Mayock audio? Mike Mayock, after it all broke, he came out and met media and had this to say.
Okay, short and sweet. Antonio Brown's not in the building today. Won't be practicing. I don't have any more information for you right now. And when I have some and it becomes appropriate, you guys all get it. I promise you. But that's it for today.
So Mike Mayock decided to meet with reporters for 10 seconds to tell them absolutely nothing, which, what are you doing? Ian Rappaport had this, that the Raiders, if they're going to suspend him, they're saying they're going to suspend him, but we haven't heard officially when it's going to happen or for how long.
I actually think there's a Vegas over-under that's now been set at 1.5.
Okay.
1.5 game suspension.
So there's a few angles we can go with this, but very quickly, the tweet and the report was basically they can suspend him, and then they can actually file a grievance to get rid of his guaranteed contract money.
Yup.
$30 million. And then they can cut him, not owe him a dime. I don't know if they're going to go that avenue, but I'm starting to wonder now how much of not announcing a suspension for something like this is attached to John Gruden not letting Mike Mayock suspend him.
A lot of people are wondering the back behind the scenes bickering that's going on between Gruden and Mayock. Gruden wants him. He understands how talented of a player he is, and he has been supportive of him this entire offseason. Mike Mayock has taken a different tone. Remember, we played the press conference, and it was all over Hard Knocks, where he gave the whole he's either with us or he's not with us speech, and he needs to get his butt here, and now it's time to go play. We've been supportive. You got to show up, Antonio Brown. Look, this is, I supported Oakland trading for him just because of the talent that Antonio Brown brought to the field. I figured this is a guy that wanted a new contract. Oakland gave him the new contract, and he clearly was going to be willing to show up and play for the guaranteed money that was on the table. I was willing to not just completely put aside, but chuckle somewhat at the offseason stuff, the helmet nonsense that came and went, whatever. You show up in week one and you play, nobody cares or remembers it. The feet nonsense, whatever. You show up and you ball out this season, nobody's going to remember that you had some dead skin on the bottom of your feet because you forgot to wear booties in the freeze chamber there. This is a different conversation when you're threatening to punch your general manager in the face and you're punting footballs out of practice and now you're facing a suspension. And I think anybody like me who supported the Raiders trading for him, at least as of now, has to say, you know what? Whoops, totally missed on that one. The Raiders can suspend him for a maximum, I believe, of 4 games under the conduct detrimental to the team. And then they can start going after the $30 million in guaranteed money. I wouldn't be surprised at this point if that's what they decide to do. And I've even seen somebody reported that they reached out to people in Pittsburgh and they're kind of blaming Mike Mayock for this and saying, you know, it's his first year back as a GM. He doesn't understand how to handle players with these big egos and personalities. And he needed to know, you just have to allow Antonio Brown to get away with certain things if you want him to be happy. And I call total BS on that.
Threatening to punch you in the face, let him get away with that?
Total BS on that, man. He Antonio Brown is an egomaniac. He's a narcissist. He only cares about himself. He doesn't care about the team. And the Raiders have put up with all of his nonsense this offseason. Every single step of the process has been BS since the day he signed with Oakland and was traded there. And they've put up with all of it. And then it gets to the point where you're releasing on Instagram a letter that was sent to you and complaining about being fined for not showing up to practices, even though it's in your contract that they can fine you if you don't show up to practices. Mike Mayock was completely in the right here. I'm glad that he confronted Antonio Brown. And at this point, I kind of hope he loses the $30 million because he's not going to see anywhere near that on the open market again.
Well, I also just don't like watching sleazebag people get $30 million.
Yeah.
Sorry. He is that. He is the prime example. If anybody ever asks you, if a kid or, you know, a relative of some sort ever just randomly goes, hey, give me an example of money making people go bad, he's exactly who I'm pointing to. He is the prime candidate, number one, that when fame and money came his way, he completely changed his attitude. He completely changed his approach to the team part of this thing. And now he's become so self-centered that he doesn't care about anybody else. He just doesn't. He doesn't care about Gruden. He don't care about Carr. He don't care about the offensive linemen, other receivers. He doesn't care. And there's not a happier franchise in the NFL today than the Pittsburgh Steelers who go, yeah, you see what we dealt with the last 2 years of this? Mm-hmm. The beginning, it was all great. He was the quiet sixth-round draft pick out of Central Michigan who was blazing fast, but nobody thought his size and his hands were good enough. Boom, we take a risk on him. He pans out. He becomes the best, if not one of the best wide receivers in the league for about 4 years. And then money starts getting in there. And then fame starts getting in there. And autographs and pictures and endorsement deals. And that's when it can go really wrong. And it doesn't happen to a lot of guys. But man, he looks like the example of somebody it does go wrong for. How many games does he play for the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'd say none.
I'm starting to wonder if Gruden's going to get his way here. And if he does, one, I don't think John Gruden's thinking of the long-term ramifications of that.
No, he's just thinking he wants to win football games.
This year, right? He wants to prove to people he's not a joke, that he's not just there to sell tickets.
Yeah, it's a big year for him.
The problem with that mentality is you cannot allow a player to disrespect the general manager that way. I don't care if the president disagrees with the GM. Any normal president would look at that situation and go, yes, I still want this guy on our team. I'm sorry that happened to you. We will suspend him for fill in the blank.
Right.
And I right now, until we get a notification, it doesn't feel like that is the case right now. It feels like John Gruden might be pulling a power play over Mike Mayock.
Yeah, and at this point, too, it's all if Antonio Brown ends up playing in Oakland, it's all up to Antonio Brown. It's up, and that's the danger territory because he's never shown that he can be the bigger person or let bygones be bygones or just move on and say, you know what, acknowledge a mistake, my bad, I'm here to do whatever it takes to help the team win. And I think it's going to take a certain aspect of that if he wants to get back on the field for Oakland and see that $30 million in guaranteed money. You know, I laughed at the helmet stuff for essentially the entire offseason because of that money. Like he's not retiring. He's not walking away. He's not going to refuse to play. The guy's got $30 million guaranteed in his contract, and he can make more than that if he stays healthy and he's effective over the next 3 years. Antonio Brown wants to see that money. Like, eventually this is all just going to go away, and he's going to get back to playing football. And, of course, there's going to be headaches every now and then. But he's going to play because he wants the money. And it took a drastic turn that I did not see happening. And like I think anybody who works in any sort of office setting, whether it's a family, doesn't matter. Like, there's nothing worse than the egotistical or narcissistic person that only cares and thinks about themselves.
Yep.
In any kind of setting, whether it's just a conversation and the person just wants to talk about themselves and they don't ask you any questions, they don't care about you or your well-being or your life, whether it's an office setting, like, everybody has to deal with this at some point. And I think there's that fine scale. Like there's that joke about the scale that guys created of like crazy and hot. And at what point is the girl not worth it when
she's too crazy,
when her level of crazy gets to the point where it outweighs her hot.
Right.
Antonio Brown and a lot of wide receivers for whatever reason are on that scale. Like he's crazy, but he's really attractive on the football field. And it gets to that sliding point of when is it just not worth it anymore for teams? The Steelers got there last year and they hit that point. They said, this isn't going to work. He quit on the team in week 17. We're getting rid of him. And it's amazing that Oakland might hit that before the first damn game this year.
But, you know, the other part of this, too, is they have to think about what they're doing here. What they're doing, though, if they don't suspend him, if that guy's out there on I think they're Monday. They're the second Monday night game.
They play Monday night at home against Denver.
If he is out there on Monday, suited and ready to play, and all he is looking at is a fine, then they are basically waving the white flag, and they're allowing him to run the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds crazy. I get it. It's the NFL. You can be cut after one game. If they do not discipline him to the point of not allowing him to play on Monday, they have given in to him. This is part of what he's like a child. He's a child in this sense.
He
keeps pushing and pushing and pushing.
You got to put your foot down.
And until you put your hand on his backside or you put him in a corner, he's not going to know that anything is wrong, that what he is doing is very normal.
I'm picturing Michael Scott spanking his nephew in the office right now.
His like 19-year-old nephew.
Teach you a lesson.
I deal with this with my three-year-old. She'll dump stuff out or she'll draw on a wall with a crayon. And when I catch her, we, you know, you discipline her.
Right.
And she doesn't do it anymore because she's like, oh, yeah, they put me in a corner.
I can get in trouble for that.
Or mom was going kind of crazy one day and they put me in the closet for 5 minutes. Like,
easy, Mike Leach.
There's a lot of directions you could go with this. And it's similar to me as like raising a child. It's idiotic that you even have to have this kind of conversation with a grown-ass adult who's being paid millions of dollars to play a game he loves.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what this is. He did the helmet thing. He missed camp. He went home. He didn't hang out. Pittsburgh, we saw what he did there with Facebook Live and then the complaints and the Big Ben tweeting. Man, this is all starting to just stand out. It's a child. He is a child. And until you smack his hand and you tell him no, when is he ever going to learn? Pittsburgh said, get the hell out of here. That didn't teach him anything. Goes to Oakland, and you're not doing anything, and he threatened to punch your general manager in the friggin' face.
I'm
so
punch you in the face, man.
Until Oakland actually has the stones to step up and discipline him and say, dude, you're just like everybody else. You're just good.
Right.
He's going to keep doing this crap.
Yeah, it gets with every wide receiver in the league that's along these lines. It gets to the point where it's not worth it anymore. Terrell Owens was this way. Chad Johnson was this way. Randy Moss on certain stops towards the end of his career.
Randy Moss
was
this way as a Raider.
Right, as a Raider, as a Titan. Right? I mean, he had a lot of those random stops where teams are like, dude, what the hell are we doing? This is not worth it anymore. And to not bury the biggest lead here, the worst news of the day out of this was when it happened. Because we just saw the final episode of Hard Knocks 2 days ago. Now, whether or not they would have shown this or how much they would have shown would have been just fascinating to see how much control HBO has, because this news would have been out there and they would have had the footage. But that's all I could think of this morning was, man, we just missed this on Hard Knocks by 2 days.
There's been a lot of really non-game things, really good ones, TV-wise, entertainment-wise, and sports. If HBO was there this week and caught that on camera and the Raiders didn't veto it to be edited out, it would have been the greatest piece of sports television for non-game stuff ever.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Not close.
Was it Buck maybe before the show? Somebody brought up it would have been close to like the Deion Sanders, Tim McCarver kind of stuff in the locker room.
Even that was bad, and that was also like, whoa. But this one is like his boss.
Yeah, he's a media member. He didn't like what he said about him on the telecast of the game. This is a GM and a player.
Yeah, so who's more upset, Mike Mayock or HBO? You can take a stab at that one at 55305. That's the Better You Today text line. But coming up next, two stops to make on the ticker. One in Chicago for the kickoff of the NFL season, and the second involving the Oakland Raiders. We'll get to that next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time, and we're going to have to really concentrate during this segment because we got two important stops. The first one is in Chicago. The Bears are kicking off the 100th season of the NFL. It's a huge deal. We finally get the NFL back, and they're hosting the Green Bay Packers. They had a really memorable game last season to start things off, now in Chicago. And Mark Grody is the sideline guy for the Chicago Bears. He joins us now. Mark, thanks for joining us up here in Portland. I want to start with this one before we get to the game itself. The Bears were 12-4 last year. Going into this year, I know some people are betting on them, but the narrative doesn't seem to be there for a year or two. Some people think Green Bay will step up, Minnesota will win the division, versus the Rams did 11-5 in their first year with McVay, and everybody loved them the next year. What's the difference between year two with the Rams and year two with the Bears that people aren't as in on the Bears as they were with the Rams?
Yeah, I think that the answer is probably Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, I think it's fair to say that most people believe that the Bears' defense is legitimate, and I think that using the word elite is probably okay and appropriate to use, but there's just so much volatility in terms of the opinions and the evaluations and the scouting on Mitchell Trubisky at this point. You know, last year he did have a very good completion rate of over 65%, but a lot of those were the intermediate throws, the bailout throws, and he missed a lot of the reads down the field. So that's what has to improve. You know, Trubisky also, there's a problem, it seems like, in the NFL with quarterbacks that run. A lot of times they get run shamed, as I like to call it. Trubisky is one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league, and he used his legs for about 500 yards running, but there were times when he probably bailed out a little bit too quickly And that's something that has to get better as well. So the short answer and a long-winded answer would be Mitchell Trubisky.
Now, I'm sorry to bring up a bad note, too, and start just with the opener being tonight, but I'm curious where they're at with the kicker position. I mean, we know that was so publicized last year and the way it went down and Parkey in the offseason. And I was fascinated by the way they handled it in training camp and trying to find a new guy. Like, where is that at, and how do you think Chicago handled it this offseason?
Well, as one who has been there since the beginning of the offseason workouts where they had 9 kickers and covering it, I am happy to report that the Bears are down to 1 kicker. His name is Eddie Pinheiro, a guy that they acquired from the Raiders last year. He was a guy that played in the preseason for Oakland last year but then was injured, missed the entire year. It would appear that he is, you know, he is the guy right now. In terms of how they handled it, you know, there's been mixed reviews about it. I think it was interesting at best, but it was this is a position that the Bears' general manager, Ryan Pace, has not been able to get right at his time here, and they had to do something different. They did something creative instead of, you know, not talking about it and letting it be like a taboo topic. They welcomed every single question about it. They made the little gimmick out of it with the 9 kickers, kicking 43-yard kicks as one of the tests. That was the kick that was missed last year in the playoffs by Cody Parkey, and doing something called the gust of silence where everybody just shuts up and they put the place on mute and they put that sort of silent pressure on. So it's been quite a ride, but at this point we're down to 1 kicker, and it's Eddie Pinheiro. And of the 9 guys I saw, I think it's legitimate that he's probably was the best of the bunch.
We're talking with the Bears sideline reporter ahead of their game against Green Bay, kicking off the NFL season. Mark Grody is our guest here, previewing everything. What's the buzz in the city, man? What's it like in Chicago now that the Bears went from 12-4 and a lot of people have expectations within the city? Is it Super Bowl or bust this year for that fan base?
It sure feels like it. Yeah, as far as the fan base is concerned, yeah, man. I mean, you didn't win a playoff game last year despite how terrific of a season it was. You overcame some demons last year. One of those ended up being Aaron Rodgers, at least in the second game, where they clinched the division here on Soldier Field turf where I'm standing right now. But, yeah, I mean, the fans expect it. I don't know, like, nationally, if that's the same expectations. I certainly don't think it is. But, yeah, I mean, you have to advance beyond the first round. And the way this defense is set up, there's no doubt that the defense for the Bears is Super Bowl caliber. It's just what we were talking about right at the beginning of this interview. It's can the offense at least get to, if they were at level 5 last year, can they make the jump to at least level 7? Because if the offense isn't, you know, better this year, it's going to be hard to expect and depend on the defense to bail them out again, like the defense, quite frankly, did a lot last year.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the opener because, I mean, 100-year anniversary, a great rivalry between Chicago and Green Bay. Now, my co-host took a steamy dump all over it yesterday, so I'll ask you, is this the best rivalry in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am obviously biased, but I grew up here. Been around it. I've covered it. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it is like in baseball, like I'm willing to go outside of my bias a little bit because, you know, it's Cubs-Cardinals,
right,
of course, is what everybody would say. But, I'll give Red Sox-Yankees a chance in that. Like, I almost say that the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry.
Oh, I think we lost him.
Yankees-Red Sox is the best rivalry in baseball, at least.
Yeah, there we go. Good stuff. Mark Grody, the Bears sideline reporter, joining us ahead of their big matchup against Green Bay to kick off the NFL season. Mark, enjoy it. You got a great view, man. Enjoy the season, and we'd love to catch up with you at some point down the road.
Anytime, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. There we go. Mark Grody, Bears sideline. Let's transition now to the big story of the day. Antonio Brown wanting to punch Mike Mayock in the face. Kevin Bollinger of the Fox affiliate over there. He's actually in Vegas getting ahead of their move here a little bit. And it's not like there's any news that the Oakland folk are missing or are catching that Kevin's not. So he joins us now. Kevin, thanks for hanging out with us here in Portland, man. I'll just start. Is he going to play any games at all with the Raiders? What's your guess on this one?
At this point, I would say no. I just think that at this point, they're trying to get their legal things tied up here. And I'm not sure if they really want the headache. Remember, this is only a 3-year deal that he signed. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders aren't exactly going to the Super Bowl this year. And so I think they need to look at the positives and negatives. And a lot of that, though, is going to depend on where he's at in the locker room and with John Gruden. Mike Mayock may be kind of the man that, that Gruden has kind of put out there to deal with all this stuff and kind of stay out of it, if he's still got the locker room with him. But the Raiders are not an organization that likes to get played publicly. So I would anticipate that there's going to be a suspension prior to the 1 p.m. Eastern Saturday roster cut line, if you will, because that would trigger his guaranteed money if he is on the roster at 1 p.m. on Saturday, and that could set them up to release them if they want to. But I'm sure that they're trying to look at possibly suspending him and then making a decision after the fact that would still give him that comfort zone financially of whether they can release him and not owe him the guaranteed money.
Yeah, and we all agree with you, and it's just hard to envision a way that he still ends up playing for Oakland after threatening to punch his boss in the face. But playing the other side of the hypothetical, if a suspension doesn't come, this kind of gets swept under the rug, or maybe it's a one-game suspension and he ends up coming back and playing the rest of the year, what kind of message does that send, I guess, just from the organization? And can they recover from allowing somebody to get away from something like that if they don't end up moving on from him?
You certainly don't want to kind of lay out that foundation that players are going to be able to come in and walk all over the organization, especially when you look at the fact that once they do move to Las Vegas, they're going to be super attractive to free agents that are going to want to come here because of Nevada's no state income tax. It's Las Vegas, which players obviously love. So they have a chance to get some high-profile players, but with that comes some divas at times. So if they kind of do this now with Antonio Brown, how much of a door does that open for guys down the road as well? I think that this is the time that you either make a statement one way or the other.
Yeah, Kevin Bollinger is our guest. He's on Twitter at KevinFox5 in Vegas, sports director over there for the affiliate. And obviously the Raiders are going to be over there in about a year or so to start playing their games. I'm curious about that, Kevin. It doesn't feel like they're going to be a very good team this year and potentially their last year in Oakland. How ready is Vegas for the team, aside from just excitement of having a pro NFL team there? Are they happy about getting this particular team the way it looks today?
You know, it's a little bit of a different situation. You know, a lot of people try to compare to the Golden Knights who came in with the NHL. But the way I look at it is, you know, everybody grows up with an NFL team that they're kind of steadfast with, maybe not on the West Coast as much with an NHL team. And so it was easier for fans to transition and jump on the bandwagon. I think it's going to be tough for a lot of people if there's a ton of Bronco fans here in Las Vegas. Are they really going to cut ties with the Broncos and become a Raiders fan right away? I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be a generational thing with maybe the kids now that kind of have their local team, and we'll see that 20 years down the road. But certainly there is a ton of excitement to have an NFL team, and the Raiders, will have a huge fan base. But let's face it, the visitors are going to have a big fan base on those games here in Las Vegas as well.
Absolutely. Destination city, man. It's an easy place to get to for a lot of people, and they get to go watch their team. Kevin Bollinger on Twitter, at KevinFox5Vegas. Kevin, great insight. Thank you for hanging out with us and hopping on, and I'm sure we're going to hear from you this season.
All right, Brandon, Andy, thank you much.
Absolutely. There we go. Good stuff from Kevin Bollinger of Fox 5 in Vegas, who is obviously still covering the Raiders because they're going to be over soon. And then Mark Grody, the Bears sideline. Those are our two stops for the Daily Ticker.
He's got to be a little bummed, too, now realizing that Antonio Brown probably won't end up being a part of the Vegas Raiders because, I mean, it's just entertaining. He's a guy that's going to give you headlines constantly to cover and to talk about. He's probably one of the most, if not the most, talked about player in the National Football League, or at least has been now for the last couple of months. I still tend to agree with him. I don't see how this ends up getting resolved on either side. Gruden might try and fight behind the scenes to keep him because he wants to win games this year. But as he mentioned, like, Oakland's not a Super Bowl contender this year. They're not going anywhere. Some people thought maybe they're a team that could take a jump and they have more talent this year than they did last year. But it's a tough division with the Chiefs and the Chargers. They weren't going to make that level of noise. And you got to save face a little bit. You can't let somebody punk you like this in front of the national football audience and then let them get away with it.
All right, well, let's move on from Antonio Brown. We've talked a lot about him here in the first about 40 minutes of the show. Let's move on to the NFL. We got a kickoff tonight. The Bears and the Packers. Not so much breaking it down, but just how jacked are you for the NFL back? Sleeper teams. Let's talk some NFL coming up next on The Fan. All right, 12:46. Welcome back in on The Fan. Coming up in hour number two, we'll get into some college football. And then I thought this was a really good thing. I stupidly forgot to mark this down to bring it on the show. And then Dirt found this morning, and I it clicked. I was like, oh yeah, I remember seeing that. It's a, it's NFL quarterbacks and how much points they're worth for the team, like on a point spread. So think -4, -5, like Tom Brady in a Super Bowl for most people would probably be worth what?
Mm-hmm.
6 points or 7 points, which is huge. It breaks down all the starting quarterbacks by that metric. And I wonder if people can guess who is dead last on that. It's one quarterback that is actually worse for the team than every other quarterback in the NFL.
It's actually a negative to have him out there.
So we'll get to that at 1:15. But, dude, the NFL season's here.
I cannot wait tonight.
I wanted to start the show with this, and instead we kind of went into Carrie Underwood stuff. But in all seriousness, I'm pretty jacked. I've always never been shy about this. I love the NFL a little more than I like college. I love both, but I can't wait to just see Aaron Rodgers come out there, what he looks like with Matt LaFleur. And I got to be honest with you. I know one doesn't mean the other's going to be the same. They had a better record in year one with Matt Nagy than the Rams did with Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because they didn't make splash signings like they did last year, the Rams did, or the quarterback thing. But even the quarterback thing doesn't necessarily make that much sense to me. Mitchell Trubisky went from having a horrific rookie year to then having 24 touchdowns and 12 picks. Jared Goff went from having a horrific rookie year to having 28 touchdowns and I think 12 picks. So I don't know where the disconnect is, but it feels like the Bears...
28-7 in year two.
28-7, thank you. But the point is they both have offensive-minded coaches. I think that clearly makes a big difference, as you can see from one year to the next.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like the Bears are kind of sliding under there in a lot of people's big Super Bowl picks.
Yeah, they are, which is unique too, because the NFC, in my opinion, is wide open. Like, I don't know who the favorite is to win it this year. I think some people are expecting a step back from the Rams. Philly's there, but there's questions. Dallas is there, but there's questions. Seattle, you know, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, really, you know, New Orleans and Atlanta as well. It really feels wide open in the NFC this year, and just kind of throw a dart at a board and maybe end up picking it right, because I do think every single one of those teams legitimately has a chance to get there, which is why the NFL is as amazing as it is because nobody can sit here and lay the heavy money on one team in the NFC right now.
I think you could do it in the AFC either. You can say the Patriots.
There's a favorite. I think it's right. New England and Kansas City are the favorites, but that's the NFL. Like, New England gets there almost every year, it feels like, but eventually that's going to stop, and maybe this is, or hopefully this is finally the year that happens. I think the Chicago thing, I do expect them to take a step back this year, and it's twofold for me. One, I don't think Mitchell Trubisky is the quarterback that Jared Goff is. I think Jared Goff was better in his second year. I think the numbers were better. The completion percentage wasn't, but even as the Bears sideline reporter just told us, a big reason why Trubisky had that completion percentage was garbage throws, you know, dumping it down, not taking shots on third and long. He wasn't able to read the field and push the ball down the field like some other quarterbacks in the league. I don't buy him yet. And maybe he proves me wrong this year, but until I see it, I'm not quite there with Trubisky. And I do think you look at their division and how tough the schedule is this year, and that's another reason why I have my doubts. This is going to be a big test for him tonight. You know, Aaron Rodgers beat him in the opener last year. They blew that big lead on opening night. They still ended up winning the division, and they had the disappointing performance in the playoffs. But Aaron Rodgers is back. He's healthy. And I do think Green Bay is one of those sleeper teams in the NFC this year. So they got their hands full. But you look at Green Bay and Minnesota being in their division, who both aren't juggernauts, but really good football teams who have a chance to win it. They have to play at Philly. They got to play Dallas. And they have to play the AFC West. So you have to play Kansas City and the Chargers. Like, it's a really tough schedule this year for Chicago.
But we think it's a tough schedule. That's always the thing about schedules.
No doubt about it.
People run with that, but we never know who really is going to be the tough team.
No doubt about it. But when you look at it, at the end of the year last year, Chicago, the way it broke out, ended up having one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. The Green Bay was down. Their out-of-division matchups weren't as tough as maybe some thought. It was not a difficult path for them to get to where they went. And at least on paper as of right now, it seems a lot tougher in year two under Matt Nagy. So, yeah, I am expecting them to take a step back. So I fall in that category of people that's sleeping on Chicago this year.
I'm just curious because I can't recall. Did you feel that way about Goff and the Rams going into the second year of the McVay stuff?
Not necessarily, because I think your point of them making offseason splashes was big. Like, they went and got Sue and Peters and Tlaib.
Tlaib, yeah.
Right, like, they made a lot of noise, and it's like, all right, the Rams were all over your news feed the entire offseason. But the other part of it was I didn't know what to make of the NFC West last year. The Cardinals were going to be atrocious. We knew that. I didn't buy the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo in year one. In Seattle, everybody going into the year last year thought Seattle was going to be kind of a dumpster fire, and they ended up proving people wrong and winning 10 games. I think the division seemed a little more easy for the Rams last year than, in my opinion, it does for Chicago this year.
Well, and I think you look at that division, and I think that's going to be the big difference between your view and my view. I like Chicago a lot. I think Chicago can duplicate a 12-4 season, maybe 11-5. You know, the step back stuff, there's always something to that, right? Not 1 year's results mean you're going to be better or the same the next year. But again, on this schedule thing, because I hear, you know, Colin does predictions a million times. Local guys do predictions. And I always hear predictions. We're going to do predictions today. It's fun. It's what everybody does with their friends, what you do at a bar.
Without a doubt.
The problem with predictions and then going, well, this team has the blank ranked schedule, is I just never buy it. I don't look at somebody's schedule and go, well, yeah, they're the third hardest schedule. Well, on paper, but you mentioned the Chargers, right? I want the Chargers to do well this year. They might not. They might not be that good. Derwin James is a huge difference maker for them on defense. They don't have their starting tackle. Melvin Gordon's not showing up. Does that guarantee the Chargers are going to be a great team? It doesn't. And I still think people have their questions about Anthony Lynn as a head coach. So not every team on a schedule, even though we like to do this with paper and say, oh, it's the eighth ranked schedule, we're basing that on last year's results. And if the NFL teaches us anything, it's that you get six new playoff teams almost every year. Almost every single season.
Chicago was one of them last year.
Exactly. Almost every season is filled with 4 to 7 teams where you go, oh, I didn't see that coming. See Jacksonville 2 years ago, shocker. Last year, disappointment. I don't think the Bears are going to go quite that far down if they drop, but I look at their division and my gut says still can't trust Matt LaFleur and Green Bay yet. I don't know if they have enough weapons either. I look at Minnesota and they've got the talent, they've got potential, but is Kirkers going to win any big game for them? And, you know, the final team is the Lions, and you
the always, Lions are the Lions.
Right, yeah. They're the Lions.
They'll be 7-9 or 8-8.
Which, if that happens, that's probably a good year for them.
That's what they are every year, it feels like.
But I think those things line up. You get 6 games against those 3 teams. If you go 4-2, you're sitting pretty. And I just think Chicago has that talent defensively, most definitely.
Oh, they got one of the best, maybe the best defense in the NFL this year. No doubt about that.
And I'm not going to proclaim Trubisky a top, you know, X quarterback, but I think he's serviceable enough with Matt Nagy for them to feel confident they can duplicate a 12-4 season or be 11-5 and win the division.
That's the biggest thing around Chicago this year. He has to improve his play. Like you mentioned the Jared Goff comparison where there was a crappy first year. You took a step in the right direction in year two. I would say Jared Goff's year two was much better than, not much better, but better
it
than
was
Trubisky's
better,
year two. Then you look at where Goff went from year two to year three. He went from 28 touchdowns to 32. He did throw more interceptions. That's because he threw the ball a lot more. He completed 62% to 64%, threw for almost 1,000 more yards, 40 more yards per game. Yards per throw was up. Like every metric of Jared Goff from year two to year three improved and got better. And that's the reality that Mitchell Trubisky has to face is if you want to get Chicago back to that point, you're not going to catch anybody off guard. Nobody's looking past you this season. You have to take that next step. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks come and have a good year or two. Look at Derek Carr, for example, and what we thought of him after 2 years in the league, and what has he done since? Ryan Tannehill. Like, there's a lot of these guys, even Mariota, who had a good year or two, and then ever since then, it's kind of plateaued, and they haven't been able to push through. Some of it's coaching, some of it's on their own. That's where Trubisky at least gets the benefit of the doubt, as you feel good about the coaching staff and some of the pieces around him. But if they want to get back to where they were, he needs to take his game to the next step. And on your scheduling note, like it's true, like there's no doubt there's new teams in the playoffs every year, but that also means teams fall out of the playoffs. Like that means there's 6 or 7 teams every year that were in it, that were not in it, or that were in it and now are not in it. And I just look at Green Bay twice, Minnesota twice. We don't know how those teams are going to be. As you mentioned, you're valid. And we don't. Aaron Rodgers has to prove he stays healthy. So you get Green Bay late in the year. Is Aaron Rodgers even going to be playing in that game? We don't know. I just look at the other out of their division matchups where you got, you had to play New Orleans. Like this is a 3-week stretch after your bye. Home against New Orleans, home against the Chargers at Philly. You have to go to the Rams. And then the last 4 games of your schedule are home against Dallas, at Green Bay, home against Kansas City, at Minnesota. It just, there's a lot of landmines there. Some of them might not pan out, but the fact that New Orleans, the Chargers, the Eagles, the Cowboys, like all these teams don't pan out, a couple of them are going to be really good football teams, and they're on their schedule this year.
Well, I kind of want to talk about Aaron Rodgers today, too. I'm somebody that believes in him. I think there's a lot of people that have abandoned because of the narrative of him and McCarthy and everything that went through that. But
it's a big year for him, man.
It is a big year for him. I think it's a very interesting one. He's kind of in that age range, too, where he's either going to be a guy that stays healthy and slings it like Brady or Breeze, or maybe he's a guy that falls off the cliff. I mean, that's not out there either, and he suffered some major injuries in his life. Have you abandoned hope on Aaron Rodgers? 55305, or has your opinion changed on Aaron Rodgers based on the last couple years' injury problems? We got that to start hour number two. We got some college football to get to as well. Hour two straight ahead on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.